Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. Today, for our deep dive, we're getting into the really fascinating, intricate world of gene regulation. I want you to imagine the blueprint of life, your DNA. It's not just some static document, right? It's an active system where every single gene has a kind of volume dial or maybe a master switch that has to be controlled with incredible precision.
And that whole process is what we call epigenetics. It's what determines when your genes speak, where they speak, and, you know, how loudly.
Exactly. So here's the question. What happens when one of those core mechanisms, a crucial molecular complex that's supposed to turn genes off, what happens when it gets jammed?
Stuck, you mean?
Stuck.
Yeah.
Specifically stuck in the turbocharged position, yeah. So it's repressing genes way, way harder than it ever should.
Yeah, what does that look like?
The result is, honestly, it's shockingly widespread.
Yeah.
And devastating. We're talking about a single tiny change to the genetic code.
Just one amino acid.
One amino acid in one key protein. And it triggers this debilitating multi-system syndrome. It causes these significant developmental delays, severe joint stiffness that gets worse over time, and these chronic, just life-altering gastrointestinal problems.
It's a really powerful reminder of just how critical that precise epigenetic control is. I mean, for every system in the body, from your brain to your gut.
It really is. Now, before we get into the nuts and bolts of this runaway switch, let's just take a moment for a special recognition. Today, we really want to celebrate the collaborative work of teams at the University of Leicester and the University Medical Center Utrecht.
Their partnership was just absolutely essential here.
It really was. They not only advanced our understanding of the MyDAC complex structure, that's our molecular switch, but they also finally established one of its components as the direct cause of a human disease.
Okay, so let's set the stage a little. Why is this such a big deal? I mean, if you look at the broader field, a lot of the most severe neurodevelopmental disorders, the ones that are really hard to diagnose, are linked to defects in exactly this kind of epigenetic machinery.
Right. It's the machinery that controls the reading of the instructions, even when the DNA sequence itself is perfectly fine.
Precisely. You can think of it like an orchestra conductor. The sheet music is perfect. But if the conductor starts waving the baton at triple speed, you just get chaos.
And our key conductors in this story are enzymes called class I histone deacetylases, HDACs 1 and 2.
Yeah. And these enzymes are, I mean, they're foundational. They are essential for almost every process in development, from DNA repair to controlling the cell cycle.
But they don't work alone.
No, not at all. They get built into these larger multi-protein complexes. There are about 6 of them. Today, we're zeroing in on just one, the MyDAC complex.
MyDAC. And that's made of 3 proteins.
3 main ones. MyDIAs, DNT type E1, and the enzyme itself, HDAC1. And we know this complex is absolutely essential. Mice that lack its components, they die before birth. There's no backup system.
Which immediately makes you think if anything goes wrong with this complex, it's going to cause a very severe disorder.
You'd think so. But here was the gap, the big puzzle. Scientists had linked parts of other HDAC complexes to human diseases, but for MyDAC, none of its core components, not MyDIAs, not DNT type E1, had ever been tied to a Mendelian disorder.
So the switch was essential, but we didn't know what happened when it broke in humans.
Exactly. Until this study.
Okay, let's unpack the detective work. How did they finally crack this case? It always starts with the patients, right?
Always.
So step one was the clinical search. The researchers did exome sequencing for an individual, proband-1, who had this severe, unexplained neurodevelopmental disorder. And they were looking for something very specific, a de novo variant.
And just to clarify for everyone, de novo is a really important term. It means the variant is brand new. It's in the child, but not in either parent.
Right. It's a huge red flag that this one single change is probably the cause.
A smoking gun, basically.
So what did they find? A tiny single-letter change in the gene MyDIAs. Specifically, a missense variant called PTR654.
And what's so telling about that specific spot is that this amino acid, Y654, is incredibly conserved.
Meaning it hasn't changed throughout evolution.
Right. It's the same in humans, in mice, all the way down to simple worms. And when you see that, it tells you that nature doesn't tolerate changes there. Any alteration is likely to be, well, catastrophic.
So that's a huge clue. But one patient isn't enough. You need validation.
Mm-hmm. And they got it. Using a tool called Gene Matcher, they found a second, totally unrelated patient, proband 2.
And this patient had the exact same de novo variant.
The exact same one. And crucially, a very similar, overlapping set of clinical features. That pretty much solidified the link. This variant was almost certainly the culprit.
But knowing the cause isn't the same as knowing how it causes the disease.
Right, you need the mechanism. And that's where the structural work came in. They used cryo-electron microscopy.
The AHA.
Tool.
This is what let them actually see the complex.
See it in stunning near atomic detail. They figured out the complete structure of the MyDAC dimer.
So once they could see it, they had to prove how the mutation actually affected its job.
Yep, the functional testing. They ran lab assays to measure the speed of the enzyme, and they compared gene expression in patient cells versus cells where they'd knocked out the MyDAC complex completely. A really key comparison, as we'll get to.
Okay, let's start with the human impact. What did this disorder actually look like in these two patients?
It's a really devastating constellation of symptoms. They both had global developmental delay, but what was especially striking was a severe delay in speech.
And then there were the joint issues.
Progressive generalized joint contractures. So their joints became very stiff, and it got worse as they got older.
They also had some distinct craniofacial features, but the symptom that really stands out to me, especially for a neurodevelopmental disorder, was the severe gastrointestinal problem.
Yes, chronic diarrhea starting in infancy and severe dysmotility. In one case, it even led to something called chronic intestinal pseudoobstruction. It's a true multi-system failure.
So when the researchers mapped the genetic variant onto that 3D structure they'd solved, the whole mystery started to click into place.
It really did. They saw that the amino acid Y654 sits right in the middle of what they called a conserved auto-inhibitory loop on the Medea's protein.
An auto-inhibitory loop, so a molecular break.
Exactly, a built-in break. And this loop doesn't just hang around nearby. It physically wraps around the enzyme, HDAC1, and actually sticks another part of Medea's right into the enzyme's active site.
So it's like putting a cork in a bottle.
A perfect analogy. It confirmed that the normal job of Medea's isn't just to be a scaffold, but to actively restrain the enzyme to keep its activity in check.
So the whole complex is designed to repress genes, but part of it is also designed to repress the repressor, to keep it from going wild.
That's a great way to put it. And they proved the break works. They tested a healthy, wild-type version of the complex against a version where they'd cut that inhibitory loop out.
And the one without the break was faster.
About 5 times more active. The break really puts the clamps on.
Okay, so here it comes. What about the mutant version from the patients?
And here's the kicker. The Y654S mutant complex was significantly faster than the healthy one. It was confirmed to be 3 to 5 times more active.
Wow. So it's not a loss of function. The disease is caused by hyperactivity. The enzyme is stuck in overdrive.
Precisely. And they even have a great mechanistic explanation for why the break fails. The mutation changes a tyrosine amino acid to a serine.
White S.
And that simple swap creates a brand new phosphorylation site. Basically, a new target for another enzyme to come along and stick a phosphate group onto it.
And they confirmed this actually happens.
They did. Mass spectrometry showed that this new site was heavily phosphorylated in the mutant protein. The thinking is that adding these big, negatively charged phosphate groups physically pushes the inhibitory loop away from the enzyme.
So the break is forced out of the way.
It's repelled. The break fails.
That is just so elegant. And the final piece of the puzzle, the gene expression data, it just seals the deal.
It's beautiful, really.
Sure.
They compared the genes that were messed up in the patient cells with the hyperactive complex to the genes in cells where the complex was knocked out entirely, meaning zero function.
And they saw opposite effects.
A strong reciprocal correlation. So think of MyDAC as a volume knob. In the knockout cells, the knob is stuck on zero, so all the downstream genes are screaming they're upregulated.
Okay.
But in the patient cells, the knob is jammed on 10. It's hyperactive. So all those same genes are forcibly silenced. They're downregulated.
That clear opposite pattern is the final proof. This is a gain-of-function disorder caused by runaway epigenetic repression.
It is a critical distinction. So this work formally establishes Medea's as an autosomal dominant disease gene, and the pathology is all coming from the inappropriate hyperactivity of this complex.
It just completely shifts how you think about the disease.
And we're starting to figure out what happens downstream. The research suggests MyDAC normally acts as a brake on a major signaling pathway called the P38-MAPK cascade.
And how did they show that?
They showed that if you get rid of MyDAC, key kinases in that pathway, like MAP2K6 and MAK2K3, get upregulated.
So in the patients where the complex is hyperactive, you'd expect the opposite. Extreme repression of those kinases.
Exactly. And that abnormal silencing of the P38-MAPK pathway is very likely a key driver of the neurodevelopmental syndrome they see.
What's also really fascinating is the clinical overlap they pointed out. The symptoms here look a lot like another rare disorder, Myhre syndrome.
Yeah, that's a really interesting connection. Myhre syndrome is caused by mutations in a completely different gene, SMAD4.
Which is part of the TGF signaling pathway.
Right. And because MyDAC is known to regulate important targets within that same TGF pathway, the hypothesis is that the hyperactive MyDAC is basically hitting the same developmental route that's broken in Myhre syndrome.
So that could provide a common molecular reason for why you see things like joint stiffness alongside neurodevelopmental delay in both disorders.
It's a very strong lead. But they did note an important limitation in the study.
Right, the cell model.
Yeah. One of those key target genes, MAP2K6, isn't actually expressed in the skin cells, the fibroblasts that they used for a lot of the testing.
So the model might be incomplete. It can't show them the whole story.
Exactly. It means future work will need to use different cell types, maybe neurons or gut cells derived from stem cells, to really understand how this hyperactive break causes the full spectrum of symptoms.
Okay, so if we zoom out a bit, what does this finding mean for the broader field?
Well, it really reinforces this new theme that's emerging for these big epigenetic complexes, not just MyDAC, but others like NERD and SIN3 as well.
And that theme is?
That access to the enzyme's active site is often physically controlled by one of its own subunits. A part of the machine acts as its own internal auto-inhibitory regulator.
So these huge complexes have their own internal safety latch. And sometimes it's the latch that breaks, not the main engine.
Precisely. It moves our understanding beyond just thinking about how these things get to the right genes to how their actual speed, their catalytic activity is controlled moment to moment. For MyDAC, this study just solidifies that loop's role as a master modulator.
That brings us to our take-home message for today's deep dive. We've learned that a single specific genetic change, P-TIR654-SIR, in the Medias protein, causes this very complex multi-system neurodevelopmental syndrome.
And the root cause is the failure of an internal break-in auto-inhibitory loop. This results in the MyDAC complex running about 3 to 5 times faster than it should be. The disease is defined by runaway epigenetic repression.
So let's leave you with a thought. This disease is caused by an enzyme that is too active. Now, HDAC inhibitors, drugs that stop these enzymes, are already used to treat some cancers. But a sledgehammer inhibitor here wouldn't work. It would just silence the complex completely and cause the same problems as a knockout.
It's a real paradox.
It is. So how does this finding that the issue is hyperactivity shift the focus for developing new therapies? We move away from simple inhibition towards highly specific modulation. I mean, could you design a drug that just slows the enzyme down to normal speed but doesn't stop it entirely? What does that quest for such precise molecular control mean for the future of personalized medicine? Something for you to mull over.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science base by base. Patient hand on the liver, keeping pulses on track. But one small shift in the lock, one softened edge in place, and the hush turns to motion, and the night picks up its pace. If the guardrail bends, the road becomes a flare. Signals spill like headlights through the thin electric air. What used to be a balance you could barely see becomes a rising waveform, asking what I'll be. When the brake slips, I feel the whole system run. A gate left unlatched under a cold white sun.
current learns my name. I chase equilibrium through the throng of the flame. Arrive like late trains, stopping short of my mouth, and my joints tighten softly as the seasons turn south. In my gut there's a tide that forgets how to rest, roots rewriting nightly in the architecture of my chest. Faces made of small details, shadows cut and clean, a body reading data in a language in between. If the guardrail bends, a road becomes a flare, a cascade in the in the air, what used to be a whisper, almost invisible, turns into a distant siren, steady, inevitable. When the brake slips, I feel the whole system run, a gate left unlatched under a cold white sun. When the brake slips, the current learns my name. Chase equilibrium through the thrum of the flame. Rain on the window, the city breathing low. Platform lights in the distance, a subterranean glow. A break is not a prison, it's a craft, it's a choice to name the surge in silence without losing the voice. And if the cascade climbs, system run, a gate left unlatched under a cold white sun. When the brake slips, the current learns my name. I chase equilibrium.